dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. And who better to help us conduct that briefing as our first guest than the chief intelligence correspondent for Fox News. She is Catherine Herridge. You see her with great regularity gracing that network's important coverage, notably of Benghazi Gate. Catherine has published recently a book entitled The Next Wave, On the Hunt for Al-Qaeda's American Recruits, and she has been our guest in the past. We're always delighted to have her. Welcome back, Catherine Herridge.
Frank, thank you for having me.
Thank you for the work you do. Let me start off by saying that, because I think it's really been both exemplary and vitally needed at a moment when we're really still not to the bottom of what happened, what led up to, and what then transpired after the attack on September 11th, 2012 in Benghazi, Libya. I want to cover, especially with you, some of the reporting you've done recently that helps explain, perhaps, or at least sheds light on some of the aftermath of that story, notably the role of the deputy director at the time of the Central Intelligence Agency, Mike Morrell. Give us your flavor of what Morrell was doing in the immediate aftermath of the attack and in the days that followed, and how has that complicated further our understanding of what happened?
Well, Mike Morrell, according to the recent Senate Intelligence Committee report on Benghazi, received an email from the CIA's top operative on the ground in Libya, the chief of station, on September 15th. That's an important date because that's one day before Susan Rice went on national television and blamed a protest gone awry for the attack in Benghazi. And in that email to Morrell, the chief of station said that this was not those were his words, an escalation of protests. And this is extremely significant because the public explanation has been that Susan Rice used the best available intelligence at the time. But what our reporting has shown at Fox News in the last few weeks especially is that there was a steady drumbeat of intelligence that was known to the deputy director of the CIA that there was no protest in Benghazi before the assault, yet these talking points went forward.
They went forward and they picked up on a meme, and we'll be talking a little bit about this momentarily with Andy McCarthy, that seems to have been approximately as fraudulent as the story that there was a demonstration that went awry in Cairo a few hours before the attack on Benghazi's facilities that we had there. Andy draws the conclusion, and I must say I concur with him, that this is really fraud being perpetrated on the American people by Mike Morrell and Susan Rice and the administration more generally. Do you see it that way, Catherine?
Well, what I can say, at least on the information that I've been able to confirm, is that this email to Mike Morrell and others in the senior leadership of the CIA on September 15th, that there was no protest in Benghazi. This is not the first time that this information was shared with them. And even more significantly, the Republicans on the Senate Intelligence Committee, they write in their addendum to the report that they never came across one piece of evidence that was provided by U.S. personnel on the ground in Benghazi that there was any kind of demonstration. So our own people told us that there was no demonstration. Yet, for whatever reason, this was there was an override, if you will, and a fallback to intelligence that I would say would be less reliable. And just for your listeners who aren't familiar with the chief of station is the U.S. government's most senior intelligence representative on the ground in that country. Former senior CIA executives have said to me that the chief of station, what they say is like gospel. And if you have an important briefing with a principal such as the president one of the last phone calls you make on the way in to brief the president is with the chief of station. So this is significant that for whatever reason, Morrell seemed to cast aside or easily dismiss or casually dismiss the statement of the senior intelligence person on the ground in Libya, which ran contrary to this public explanation, or at least initial public explanation of a protest in Benghazi.
Yeah, misleading indeed. You have also reported, Catherine Herridge at Fox News, that Mike Morrell has had a landing pad for him after he left government service in the CIA and has indicated some aspirations to be even more involved with the campaign with which that landing pad is associated. Talk a little bit about that, if you would, that may shed some light, may not, but may shed some light on motivations.
Well, Mike Morrell, since he retired from the CIA sort of mid-year last year, has taken on some very high-profile assignments for the administration, among them the NSA review panel. He's also on the Intelligence Advisory Board. He is now a paid TV commentator on national security issues for CBS News. He has a book deal, and he now works as a counselor for Beacon Global Strategies, which is a group that was founded by Philippe Raines, who was described recently in the New York Times Magazine as the gatekeeper for Hillary Clinton. And I think most significantly, I mean, that's just lining up the data points, but in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, when he left the CIA, he himself said that he was interested in advising a presidential campaign in the future, and then the article cited unnamed U.S. officials saying that he was very close to Mrs. Clinton. So I think your listeners have to make their own assessment, but that is, those are the facts of the career choices Morrell has made since he left the agency. I think what's important here now, especially given Republican allegations against Mike Morrell, that he misled two congressional committees, the Intelligence Committee in the House, where he is accused of not providing a forthright testimony and downright misleading the committee in the Senate, that he, I think that this call to have him reappear or to testify again, Frank Wolf, Congressman Frank Wolf wants him to testify in a public setting. I think it seems only right given the discrepancies in his testimony and now questions raised about the choices that he's made since leaving the CIA. There may be very legitimate explanations for all of these things, but it's going to take additional testimony for that to be made plain.
Yeah, well, and indeed additional testimony on so many of these issues, Catherine Herridge, which you have done more probably, I think it's fair to say, to expose to public scrutiny than have all of the congressional committees that have been asked to look into this matter of Benghazi Gate to date. Catherine, let me, in the closing couple of minutes we have with you, and again, our guest is Catherine Herridge, the chief intelligence correspondent for Fox News. If you might just share with us your thoughts on a statement that the Director of National Intelligence made in testimony to the Congress recently, to the effect that never in the past 50 years have there been more crises and threats to the United States. Whether that's slightly hyperbolic or not, I guess we could debate. But to the extent, looking at this as a journalist, how serious do you believe the threat environment is to the nation at the moment? And is American intelligence being adequately brought to bear to monitor and assess and protect us against it?
I want to begin by saying that what happened in Benghazi was not an intelligence failure, just to be very clear about that. There were multiple reports prior to the attack that the conditions were deteriorating, and in fact, the only thing the intelligence community did not produce was an email from these al-Qaeda-linked groups saying, this is the time, place, and method of attack. I don't think they could have done more to provide adequate warning that there was a severe threat faced by the U.S. and other Western nations in Libya. That said, the threat is far more diversified than it has been in recent memory. And when I say diversified, you know, al-Qaeda is no longer like a vertically integrated company with a bin Laden as a CEO. You have these affiliates. There seems to be some coordination between these affiliates. In Benghazi, for example, you had members of at least two different official al-Qaeda affiliates and then a couple of other of like-minded groups. So the threat is more diversified. Number two, this comes at a time when the Snowden leaks have done really significant damage based on the congressional testimony to the intelligence community and its ability to gather information. And I believe, based on conversations I've had privately with people, that other foreign intelligence agencies are very reluctant to share information with the United States because they feel that it will be ultimately compromised. So at a time that the threat is more diversified than we've seen in a very long time, our ability to deal with that kind of threat has also been compromised as well.
Yeah, very worrying stuff, especially since that last bit, the human intelligence is especially needed to penetrate these very secretive organizations that pose this jihadist threat to us. Catherine Herridge, thank you for the light that you shed on all of these matters. We appreciate your spending some time with us here and for all you do at Fox News. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk with you again very soon. Next up, we'll get Andy McCarthy's take on this national security fraud in Cairo, Benghazi, and beyond.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
On August 2nd, 2006, Mark Allen Lee became